morning and welcome to We the People. Ahead of the parliament session, the main opposition party, the BJP, is saying that it's going to boycott all meetings and public functions that are attended by India's Home Minister Sushil Kumar Shinde. The immediate provocation for this standoff between the Home Minister and the opposition party is Mr. Shinde's comments on saffron terror. Sushil Kumar Shinde actually first went on record accusing the BJP and the RSS for being linked to terror camps. When there was a storm in the wake of his comments, he hastily withdrew them, clarifying that he did not mean to associate any one political party or any one religion with terrorism. But it has been an ongoing debate for some time now. There are different names used for it. Some call it Hindutva terror. Others call it right-wing extremism. Whatever name you put on it, how serious is the threat? And given the number of unsolved terror cases, first pin on different established Islamist terror groups and now different right-wing groups being investigated for it, people are asking, will we ever know the truth of who the perpetrators were behind these different attacks? Let me start with Chandan Mitra. It's quite unprecedented for a main opposition party to actually say, if Home Minister attends a public function or calls us for a meeting, we will not attend it. So Sushil Kumar Shinde has clarified his remarks. Was the clarification not sufficient?
Well, the Congress party and some of its leaders are in the habit of making such irresponsible comments. First, they make this comment and then somebody goes around saying, no, terrorism has no colour. But by then, the intended message is conveyed to a particular constituency that the Congress has been assiduously wooing for the last many, many years.
What constituency do you mean? There's an innuendo
there.
Obviously,
the Azamgarh constituency, for instance, which Mr. Digvijay Singh keeps on wooing, has been doing it consistently. In other words, I would say a section of the Muslim community, which feels comforted by these kind of statements of the Congress party. But Varkha, I would like to clarify at the outset. Number one, there is no such thing as saffron or Hindu terror. It is simply non-existent.
Does that mean terror has no religion? In which case there should be no such thing as Islamist terror? Terror should just be terror? Or do you mean that there is nobody with previous links to the RSS, with links to the Bajrang Dal, with links to the fringe, some of these fringe groups who have connection to these terror attacks?
I am talking about organized terrorism.
Okay.
There is no organized terrorism that can be linked to the so-called Hindutva groups. And number two, I don't like this differentiation. Terror is terror, pure and simple. Organized terror, and we should confine ourselves to organized terror. One is left-wing extremist organized terror, namely the Maoists. And the other is jihadi terror that is controlled by the Al-Qaeda and various other organizations.
And everything else, the accused in Malegaon, the accused in Samjhota, the accused in Makkah Masjid are what?
Individual.
Sandeep Dixit, is that a fair distinction? That there is actually no organized terror group that can be located on the political right of the spectrum is actually the argument I'm hearing from him. Did the Congress make a mistake in constantly arguing that there is Hindutva terror?
It's not a belief that the Congress as a party holds. I think maybe some individuals may be attributing a particular religion or a particular group of institutions or a broad ideology to agencies or people, organized or otherwise, who may be also now entering the rubric of those who do terror activities. It's very clear in our stance that there's nothing like saffron terror or Hindutva terror. There is a right-wing terror, right? And when I talk about right-wing terror, I mean broadly people who, apart from a leftist or a Maoist or a class-based ideology, perhaps also believe that certain other identities, give them an opportunity or a passion to use the arms.
So you believe there is right-wing terrorism?
Organized or otherwise, I think something is there.
So the party disassociates itself from the Home Minister's remarks?
With the remark that there is saffron terror or that it's Hindu terror, very clearly. These words are not something we believe in, certainly not.
Saffron terror is a phrase that's been used by Mr. Chidambaram as Home Minister as well. You don't believe in that classification?
No,
either.
I don't.
But Evan Singh, the question for you, as somebody who's been in the police, is this, that when we look at some of the major unsolved blasts that have grabbed our headlines recently, Samjhota Express blamed initially on the Lashkar-e-Taiba, Malegaon, Makkah Masjid in Hyderabad, where 100 Muslim boys are rounded up and put in jail, Ajmer, what it really points to is, I would say, a kind of chilling inefficiency, some would say bias, in the police force, because in all of these cases, how does an investigative agency go from one end to the complete other, and why doesn't it leave people like all of us saying, we don't actually believe either narrative? Why should any of us believe it?
You see, this the phrase saffron terrorism, in my opinion, is a politically coined terminology. See, this has come very handy for some people to counter the charge of jihadi terrorism. When people in the political class have been talking that terrorism has no color, I think this whole talk of saffron terrorism or Hindu terrorism or Islamic terrorism is rather unfortunate. Should have been better avoided. In my opinion, there is nothing like saffron terrorism. It just doesn't exist in the Hindu pantheon.
But many Muslims would argue that the Quran doesn't Quran doesn't sanction terrorism,
yes,
and that the word
that
jihad has been
rather nebulous
distorted.
And that is rather nebulous and needs a lot of clarification.
So you're saying one
said,
religion sanctions terrorism and another doesn't?
I'm not contesting anybody. I'm just saying what is happening. Now, you see, coming to this issue of the arrest of some Hindu fringe elements, Sanatan Sanstha is one.
Sanatan Sanstha in one case, Abhinav Bharat in another case. And individuals previously linked
you,
to the RSS, with the RSS that said had been thrown out in some cases.
Them, but all thrown out of the RSS.
All thrown out of the RSS. That's why I said previously linked to the RSS.
These are the fringe elements of the Hindu society, and they are localized in certain parts of Maharashtra and certain parts of Madhya Pradesh. Like the Sanatan Sanstha is limited to Western Maharashtra.
And the Maharashtra government
the coastal,
now wants to ban
and the
it.
Coastal belt.
The Maharashtra government now wants to ban the Sanatan Sanstha.
Yes, they have sent a proposal to the government of India for banning. Now, the other group, which is involved in Malegaon terrorist blog and all that, they are also limited to certain districts of Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh. And I think this action which has been taken by the police so far has completely nipped it in the bud.
Are you saying that they lack the capacity or the finesse
to
actually conduct the terror strikes that they have been accused of?
They don't have the capability, the capacity,
so
the resources, the resources, and not even the motivation. Let me tell you, these are retaliatory attacks which can happen and which seems to have happened. It is yet to be finally settled by the police. And the story still remains in a
and
very confused state.
And that is Mr. Singh, my precise
but
point.
But I would say that I don't rule out the possibility of some Hindu groups getting involved in retaliatory attacks, and that is what seems to have happened. But the action which has been taken by the police and by the NIA has certainly nipped it in the butt, and I don't think they have the capacity to go on attacking in a very organized manner.
Najib Jung, come in at this point. What I'm hearing here is that you could make an argument about a kind of tinge of bias in the approach of the investigative agencies, but you cannot make the leap from that to say that there is such a thing as Hindutva terror. Sandeep Dixit goes a step further. He says it's right-wing terror, not Hindutva terror.
I think there are communal people on all sides of the spectrum.
Yes.
But there is a stage when you break the line and communalism turns some's mind into terrorist mind. You know, communalism is garbed in social organizations, in religious organizations.
Yeah.
But there will always be the fear that there will be these people who will break those limits, as is the case you said in the case of these RSS boys, or there may be the case in Muslims. And that is why I really think that India has not confronted terror in the way that many other countries have.
In what way?
Well, I think that the terror incidents in India are much smaller than confronted, say, in Pakistan or Afghanistan, because there the jihadi groups are actually organized. I mean, Al-Qaeda or the Lashkar, they are committed to terrorism. Terror in India is still extremely limited, and they are limited to fringe elements in all communities. So I wouldn't put the bias, I mean, I wouldn't put a strong bias on right-wing or on Muslims. I think that these people need to be watched. What is true indeed is what the Muslim community is feeling is that there is a level of bias against them when action is taken, say, in writing. I mean, I think Mr. Togadia has very eloquently said it when he mentions the riots that, you know, there was not one Hindu killed in the police firings and so on in these riots in Assam and Meerut and so on. Now, that is the real fear which antagonizes communities.
So the fear is A, radicalism, and B, that the police is not necessarily objective. Is that what you're saying?
I
want Chandan and Sandeep to come in there before I go to Mr. Vijay.
I think that there needs to be a greater level of sensitivity in dealing with communal and sensitive situations, which I'm afraid that our administration is not geared to be as sensitive as it's needed to be.
In all of these big bomb, big terror strikes, you've now had the investigative agencies turning their focus on either these fringe groups or individuals previously linked to the RSS. Do you classify this as right-wing terror? What do you classify
as? No, I don't classify this right-wing or left-wing or anything.
What is Sadhvi Pragya? What is Aseema Nand? What is Lokesh Sharma in being investigated in the Samjhota Express?
Use the correct term, retaliatory. Retaliatory attacks, because people in India, and I don't agree with Najib Saab, when he says this is, kind of equating the two situations. You see, there is fairly organized jihadi terror in India, and it doesn't entirely come from Pakistan. There is homegrown terror, the Indian Mujahideen, the Huji, there are sleeper cells.
But Huji was blamed for some of these attacks and it turned out to be false. I'm not saying Huji is not a terror group, but I'm saying it turned out to be false accusation.
May have happened. They may have gone wrong. But to say that there is really no organized terror and that terror is very limited in India, I don't agree with that at all. More people died in the train blast than they died in 2611. And it was purely homegrown. There was many other blasts happened. And I think some people in the Hindu community then felt that the government was unable to provide a sense of security.
How does that make it right? Still terror.
No, it doesn't make it right to plant bombs. I did not say it was right. But
is it an act of terrorism or not? Are these blasts an act of terrorism?
It is an act of terrorism, and the law must take its course and people should be punished. The point I'm trying to make, there is no equation. There is some minor incidents that have happened if you look back, and let the law take its course. But I think that against fairly organized Pakistan-sponsored domestic terror, there has been no serious kind of, retaliation.
Sandeep, do you agree with that? Do you accept Chandan's argument that in one case it's organized jihadi terror, but in another case it's actually essentially individuals? It's still an act of terror, whether it's retaliatory or not.
There would be some cross-border sponsored terror, which is more organized. So, but, Dajibji's point is different. He's saying the scale at which Afghanistan and Pakistan is operating, and thankfully it's not operating here. And I think it goes to the credit of our society, to police institutions, to investigating institutions, that we've not let the worst across our borders come into an India. But I just want to point out this, whatever may be the merit in the word retaliatory, I think it's a dangerous thing. Because, I represent a constituency which has a very large Muslim population and used even before.
Yeah.
Very often even people from Muslim community use the word retaliation, not to justify.
But to explain.
But to explain. Now, once we start accepting this word as something that we use to justify, you don't know what message is going to whom. Large number of instances, whether they are individual crimes or they are communal crimes or they are crimes against anybody as an individual or a state, very often start from this word retaliatory.
I think that's very
and
important.
Very often, just one second, sir. I'm not counting. Yeah. Very often people feel a sense of injustice. Sometimes it crosses that boundary. Each one of us has different boundaries. Yeah. And ultimately, what we are saying is something that should refer to a larger, hopefully 100% of people. So that however much they may feel like retaliating, they don't pick up the arm.
I was just saying it was a disturbing phrase. And it was disturbing to me because the Al-Qaeda could also be retaliating against George Bush. What does it mean to retaliate? Anything can be rationalized in this framework of retaliation.
Barakha, we are talking in the Indian context.
I'm not
trying to rationalize anything or justify anything.
Yes.
And it is very unfair that the police should be accused for all these ills that the society is going through because of somebody else's follies. You see, police are doing a very tough job and you must give the due credit. I'm glad that at least partly or obliquely Mr. Dixit did acknowledge their work.
I'm not obliquely doing that. I'm saying you're doing a good job.
Who died when the parliament was attacked? The policeman died. Did any politician die in that?
But that's not what we're discussing. Now, is there an element of religious bias in the police? I'm sorry, I have to call out the elephant in the room. Is there an element of religious bias in the police?
No. That's absolutely wrong accusation. It's very easy to make it. That is absolutely incorrect statement. Now, there may be wrong arrests, but you can't jump to a conclusion and say that there is a police bias against a minority
arrests.
Or any group.
Okay.
The word retaliatory that I used was only to say, to talk about the magnitude of the two retaliatory, of the two terrorist camps. One inspiration comes from a certain text. And the other group just comes from a state of helplessness.
It is not in a sense of justification. It is by way of explanation. And I don't think explanation necessarily is justification.
But it's a bit dangerous also to say that one religion sanctions terror, because that's literally what I'm hearing there. I mean, that's Mr. Singh
I'm sorry, I'm no theologian, but definitely these groups draw inspiration from religious texts. I mean, there are enough people
who would say it's a distortion of those texts. I'm not a theologian either, but many Muslims I know would say it's a complete distortion.
I will again underline That's a small.
Okay.
Small
okay, so you're saying one draws
yes,
inspiration.
They do draw. The openness is
so. You're hearing this debate, and actually, it's a frightening debate in our country, because at one level, secularism is really the cornerstone of this country's identity. Yet at the same time, there seems to be these fissures and fault lines. And the question then becomes that do you then just look at terrorism as divorced from all faiths? Or do you take the argument that if you locate jihadi terror in a global context, it certainly cannot be used interchangeably or with what we are calling right-wing terror today?
Well, contexts vary around the world. But I would totally disagree with the idea of retaliatory strikes. Was Gujarat a retaliatory strike? Mr. Modi said action, reaction. But let me recall two of his statements, which are absolutely chilling. One was that he said that if anyone wants peace, let them not ask for justice. This was on a broadcast, All India Radio broadcast, which has been published by the Editors Guild report in which I had a hand. Secondly, you mentioned secularism. I think our secularism is also being hollowed out. Much of it is bogus because of vote banking and so on and so forth. Look at our textbooks. UNESCO says wars begin in the minds of men. So do conflicts. Read the Gujarat textbooks, and not Gujarat only, other parts of the country, across the board, across parties, across regimes, across faiths. What do they say? They preach exclusivity, hatred, and the glorification of a certain identity, whichever that might be. These are extremely dangerous. Now, people sitting here go to CBSE and other schools. They don't read these texts. But the people who talk of retaliatory strikes are brought up on these texts, or some of them.
So you find
and
that
this is extremely dangerous, and the state has shut its eyes to it.
Do you, Mr. Varghese, draw a distinction between riots that are fanned politically, because 1984 and 2002 could both be described as those, and terrorism on the other side? Do you draw a distinction?
It's very difficult to draw a line or to compartmentalize things. One thing leads to another. Everything in our country is politicized. This leads to a climate where it's free for all. All standards and norms, including the law, are set aside. And therefore, it creates a field where anyone can do anything. Say, the state is not going to intervene. The state is part of the problem. Therefore, I have to find my own solution.
Okay.
And therefore, you get extreme views being expressed. The views of the Shiv Sena, of Togadia. I was astonished that the Shiv Sena leader was given a state funeral when he was accused in the Shri Krishna report of murder and mayhem.
Interestingly, you left out Mr. Akbaruddin Owaisi.
I'm not excluding him. I'm saying include everyone.
Shiv Vishwanathan, language is very important. And we can't actually agree on a word. Everybody's saying jihadi terror, and nobody has disagreed necessarily with that classification. But we have not been able to agree on a word. Some say Hindutva, some say right-wing. Why is it so difficult for us to agree on a word for this?
Because language is the first casualty of violence. See, we are not listening to a discourse on terror. We are looking at dry cleaners of political parties. They are sanitizing the political parties. Congress is responsible for terror. BJP has been responsible for terror. But let's not start this. Some terror is less equal than others. Because then you'll identify by party, you'll identify by color, you'll identify by ethnicity. I think Mr. Varghese put it brilliantly. Retaliatory is a dangerous word. Narendra Modi patented retaliatory riots. Two retaliations is an organized riot.
The retaliatory was used by M.N. Singh, not by either of the politicians.
No, politicians, policemen are also politicians. When they want to clarify the police.
Journalists are any less?
No, but no.
Who is not a politician in India?
So, no, but that's precisely it. When you use politics at ethics, there is a problem. Language and ethics go together in any act of politics.
Okay.
Once we admit that, we're looking at broader trends. All of us as citizens should be ashamed of.
But when you say, you can't do one terrorism is a little higher than the other terror, what do you mean? You have Milind Joshirao of the Abhinav Bharat sitting next to you. Now, he is going to argue, as is Lieutenant Colonel Purohit's lawyer sitting on the other side. One is going to say, my client is innocent. He actually infiltrated the Abhinav Bharat for intelligence. Abhinav Bharat spokesperson is going to say, we're not a terror group, we're a cultural organization. To which Chandan Mitra or others or even Najib Jung are going to say that there is a difference between somebody who has a cultural ideology that you may dislike, but that's not a terror group.
Wait,
so do we need to draw that distinction?
We have to draw a distinction first on theology. The point you made is valid.
Islam and Christianity have a just war hypothesis. But the same just war hypothesis can be done in terms of a nation state. And I think we've got to be clear about it, that a jingoistic nationalism can be as bad as a Christian fundamentalism or a Muslim fundamentalism.
Sure, sure.
So let's begin by saying all of us to a certain extent are trying to sanitize
guilt. So do you believe there's right-wing terror?
Of course there's right-wing terror.
And
but
what
doesn't
do you
have to be
that?
Hindu or Islamic. You see, terror is not just ideological.
Yeah.
Terror can be nihilistic. And that is why retaliatory terrorism is a part of terrorism. The classification organized, spontaneous, doesn't work fully because there's a gradient in between which creates problems. Let's look at the genocidal coefficient of each term.
Yeah.
Retaliatory. Yes. Huh? Fringe. The trouble is when the kid gets caught in the police station and serves 10 years in jail, regardless of color or classification,
he
suffers. I begin with the question of the nature of suffering we are imposing through these discussions.
Now, I want to raise something else that we haven't spoken about. We have had for the first time a serving army officer. We had Lieutenant Colonel Purohit picked up and actually implicated in something as serious as a Samjhota Express, which has given occasion to Pakistan's interior minister to be able to turn around and say, hang on, don't point a finger across, first look within. Neela Gokhale, you're representing Colonel Purohit. And the argument we're now hearing, which is maybe quite awkward for the Abhinav Bharat, is not that he was a loyal member of the Abhinav Bharat, but that he had infiltrated it for intelligence.
No, actually, let me just say, make it clear that the matter is sub judice, so I cannot very well comment on the merits of the matter. Nevertheless, there is a clarification which has to be made that he has never been any defence that he has infiltrated Abhinav Bharat. That is number one. And number two, I again wish to correct.
He said it in an interview that I've read.
I think that was misquoted. He said he had infiltrated into certain organisations, but I don't think
not
he
necessarily
ever said
Abhinav Bharat. Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Number two is that as far as pointing fingers at Purohit in respect of Samjhota Blast, he has never been accused or there is no allegation against him as far as Samjhota Blast is concerned. There's only a charge sheet against him in respect of Malegaon Blast. Most important thing is that, like they all said, there is a reaction, like a consistent and a relentless appeasement of a particular community by the political parties.
So this man is an army officer, ma'am.
He is an army officer. I'm coming to that.
It's meant to be our most secular institution.
Therefore, might invoke certain reactions. Now,
from an army officer?
I'm not.
Reactions from an army officer?
Let me just finish. A couple of persons of a community having discussion in respect of certain problems faced by them because of this appeasement does not necessarily conclude that he is...
Okay, so you refer to the telephone calls that have been placed on record where conversations were made of a Hindu Rashtra. Milind Joshi Rao, you say that Abhinav Bharat is not associated with terror. Would you accept a classification of a group that believes in a Hindu Rashtra?
Of course, yes. We do believe in
Hindu
Rashtra.
What does that mean?
We do believe in Hindu Rashtra. And we want to create a Hindu Rashtra in this nation. And what we mean by Hindu Rashtra is that a Hindu, a born Hindu, is basically secular by thoughts. Our religion teaches us secularism. So there is nothing more as secular as being Hindu.
So what does the Abhinav Bharat stand for?
Abhinav Bharat stands for making this country truly pro-Hindu.
What
see,
does that
all,
mean?
Everybody, look, Barkha.
What
everybody
does that mean?
Has been
this
talking.
This country is a secular country.
Let me speak. Everybody
we
has
don't
been
have
speak.
To be pro any faith.
Everybody has been speaking about jihadi terror over here. They particularly lack the confidence of speaking that jihadi terror means Islamic terror. And this country has not been facing this Islamic terror since last 60 years.
So these four blasts in which Abhinav Bharat has also been implicated, or members of the Abhinav, Lieutenant Colonel Purohit was what to the Abhinav Bharat?
He's a member of Abhinav
Bharat.
He's
a member of the Abhinav
yes.
Bharat. Now, do you not think that there's something frightening that a serving army officer should be part of a group that believes in a Hindu Rashtra? That terrifies me.
Hindu Rashtra doesn't mean that we show off all the Muslims or all the Christians from this country. We have been staying together for past thousands of years.
Yes.
But then, nobody complains about John Howard, Prime Minister of Australia, when he says that this country is based on principles of Christianity. He was talking against the Muslims. And anybody who doesn't agree with this have a lot of places in the world. Why can't we say, as a majority community of this country, that we are in majority, this country will run on the principles
because
of Hinduism.
Why?
Okay, one minute. He's confusing majority and Hinduism.
Yes.
As a Hindu, he's secular. As a majority, he's totalitarian.
I want to come back to something a little more serious and germane to this debate. Chandra Mitra and Sandeep Dixit, here's the point. There can be an extremist thought process. What I'm hearing from Milind, sounds very extremist to me. Equally, tomorrow I might hear something from a Jamaati group, which may sound also very unpalatable to me. Do we conflate an extremist thought process with terrorism?
Not at all.
Why?
No, no, it's a philosophy. People should be free to have their own philosophy. And Hindu Rashtra is not a term that is coming into vogue now. And it is not. It is nowhere. It has any connotations of terrorism.
Sandeep, when you're hearing this, what is the Abhinav Bharat?
For instance, Islamic State does not make a country a terrorist country.
Sandeep, just come in there. Extremism of thought, violence of thought, hate speech. Ingredients for possible terror were not the same as terrorism?
These can become breeding grounds. That's the problem. The problem is all of us are not the same individuals.
Yeah.
Not all of us can at times be completely rational. And what is rationality?
Yeah.
It's a lot of boundaries drawn by how we've grown up, how we are, how our personalities are, how the genes are. So I think somewhere in these, seeds get sown. You know, and that is the fear.
But we still haven't...
It does happen.
I'm going to come back to the panel. I want to take a few questions. You wanted to say something.
I just want to say that India is a secular country, sir, and no group has a right to say that India, we make India a Hindutva country or something like that. India has been secular since its inception. There are more Muslims in India than in Pakistan. We all have the right to exist equally.
I don't really want to get into a retaliation on this because I agree with her. I agree with her completely. All right, I'm going to hear now from somebody who was actually imprisoned after the Makkah Masjid blast in Hyderabad. And he spent many months in jail. He was finally acquitted. And as we know, the Makkah Masjid blasts have also now, they're being investigated in a completely different tangent from initially. Imran, aap aaye hain Hyderabad se. Aapne kitna der bataya jail mein?
Maine kuch 18 mahine bitaye the jail mein. Aur suddenly, jaise mera arrest hua tha, to 18 mahine tak mujhe illegal custody mein rakha gaya tha. Jaise abhi aap bol rahe the ki there is equal law for Hindus and Muslims. In India.
It is not.
Ek minute.
There are different laws for Hindus and different laws for Muslims.
Let him please speak. Okay. I will come back to you.
He's not referring to marriage. He's talking about terror.
Yeah.
Terror. Exactly. I'm speaking about terror.
I can quote one minute.
Milind, I want to hear from him. Then I'll give you a chance
this
to
is
speak. Yes, Imran. I want to hear from you. आपको बोला गया था कि आपने आरडीएक्स आपके घर में रखा गया
जी,
वो आरडीएक्स कभी मिला ही नहीं
मुझे ये भी बोला गया था कि मैं 10 साल पाकिस्तान में ट्रेनिंग लेके आया हूँ बीइंग ए केवी स्टूडेंट केंद्रीय विद्यालय में पढ़ता था मैं एक आर्मी स्कूल था वहां पे ही मैंने 12th कंप्लीट किया फिर उसके बाद में मैंने इंजीनियरिंग कर रहा था तो वहां पे मुझे एकदम पिक करके बोलते हैं कि मैं 10 साल जो है मैं पाकिस्तान में ट्रेनिंग लेके आता हूँ यू हैव ऑल माई रिकॉर्ड्स इवन माई स्कूलिंग के जो सर्टिफिकेट्स एवरीथिंग यू हैव कैसे बोल सकते हो आप लोग कि 10 साल मैं पाकिस्तान में ट्रेनिंग लेके आऊं और सडनली उसके बाद में आप लोग 100 बच्चों को उठाते हो मेरे ही नाम पे बोलते हैं कि इमरान का दोस्त है इमरान का भाई है इमरान का ये है इमरान का वो है और सबको इमरान से लिंक कर दिया आप लोगों ने और एंडिंग में क्या हुआ इमरान ही टेररिस्ट नहीं है सो व्हाट डज इट मीन
And can I ask you, what's been your life after you've been acquitted? Do you feel bitter? Do you feel angry? एक गुस्सा आता होगा कि जिंदगी चेंज हो गई नहीं
ऑब्वियसली जिंदगी चेंज हो ही गई है अगर जैसे मैं जेल से बाहर आया हूँ कोई सही बात तो अब तक किसी ने सही बात तक नहीं की और उसके बाद में मुझे अभी भी पुलिस वाले कभी कभी आके पकड़ते हैं बोलते हैं क्या कर रहा है क्या है और मेरा किसी चीज से लेना देना ही नहीं था
डिड यू फाइंड प्रॉब्लम गेटिंग अ जॉब आफ्टर दैट
यस एग्जैक्टली ऑब्वियसली मुझे पढ़ने ही नहीं दिया गया उसके बाद में आई वाज अ बीटेक सेकंड ईयर स्टूडेंट उसके बाद में मुझे पढ़ाई कंप्लीट करने के लिए मैं फिर वापस हाईकोर्ट जाके वहां से मैंने परमिशन ला के मेरी इंजीनियरिंग कंप्लीट की एंड देन सडनली व्हाट हैपेंड इज जॉब के लिए मैं जहां कहीं भी जाता हूं दे विल आस्क मी आप 2-3 साल कहां थे तो सडनली आई कांट आंसर दैट कि मैं जेल में था ओके और एक चीज ऐसी है कि आप जेल की बात करते हो सबकी बात करते हो जेल के बाद की लाइफ भी आप देखिए इतनी अब इतने परेशानियों से गुजर रहे हैं फिर भी हम अपने आप को भारतीय ही बोलते हैं तो व्हाट डज इट मीन कि हम भारतीय नहीं है हमको हमारे घर से अकड़ा जा रहा है यार और कितने हमारे पास 100-150 बच्चों को उठा के बोलते हैं हरकतुल जियादुल इस्लामी लश्कर ए तैयबा मैंने जिंदगी में कभी लश्कर ए तैयबा का नाम नहीं सुना था मुझे 3-4 दिन नंगा रख के मारा गया बोलते हैं लश्कर लश्कर कहां का लश्कर मैं हैदराबाद से कभी बाहर नहीं गया मुझे बोलते पाकिस्तान पाकिस्तान का आज तक मुझे नाम ही नहीं पता पाकिस्तान क्या है अब बोलो आप मेरे पास आप बोल सकते हो कि हाँ भाई किसी ने अपना बदला लिया इसलिए वो बदला ले रहा था वो जिहादी नहीं है वो जो भी है वो नहीं है अगर मैं बदला लूं तो मैं पक्का टेररिस्ट हो जाऊंगा आप लोग ये बात तो मानते हैं ना
आप मेरी तरफ क्यों देख
रहे हैं सडनली देखिए दो लोग ही थे यहाँ पे जो बात कर रहे थे खिलाफ में
जी
नहीं खिलाफ में नहीं
बट आई थिंक ही सेज समथिंग वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट
नो ऑब्वियसली दे आर वेरी वेरी सीरियस मैटर्स And I think Mr. Hemant Singh is the right person to answer these questions. So why does the police do it? And when they do, when they do, well, how should they be compensated?
What is your question for the role of the police? Police... ये भी डिबेट चल रहा है आंध्र प्रदेश में. आई नो दैट द पुलिस शुड मॉनिटरली कॉम्पनसेट. आपके पुलिस के लिए आपका नॉट दैट एमएन सिंह के नाम से ऑन बिहाफ ऑफ द आंध्र पुलिस, बट इन जनरल पुलिस के बारे में आप क्या सवाल पूछते
हैं? इन जनरल मैं एक ही बात पूछना चाहूंगा पुलिस के लिए. देखिए, अगर आप कोई मुसलमान बंदे को पकड़ते हो और कोर्ट में प्रोड्यूस करने के लिए 60 दिन लेते हो, 60 दिन, 70 दिन, 80 दिन, 90 दिन लेते हो, उसे कहां कहां रखते हैं, कैसे कैसे टॉर्चर दिया जाता है, किसी को नहीं पता ये. और सडनली आफ्टर एक किसी अगर आप कोई लीडर को पकड़ते हो या किसी कोई दूसरे कम्युनिटी से किसी भी आदमी को, मैं आई डोंट वांट टू बोल, मैं नहीं बोलना चाहूंगा कि किसी हिंदू को या किसी सिख को या किसी को, आप दूसरे दिन ही अरेस्ट बताते हो, तो पुलिस ये बायस्ड हो गई है.
एम एन सिंह, यू से द पुलिस इज ऑलवेज ब्लेम्ड.
यू कम बैक टू द पुलिस.
आई डू कम बैक टू द पुलिस.
दैट इज द बायस अगेंस्ट द पुलिस.
एंड वी विल सर, वी विल कम अगेंस्ट द पुलिस.
नाउ यू सी,
ओके,
100 बॉयज आर पिक्ड अप in Hyderabad. 100 boys. You're seeing one of them. He was playing cricket when he was picked up. Now, I'm able to say today, because the case against him is closed, that he was wrongly picked up. There were people wrongly picked up in Malegaon. There were people wrongly picked up in Ajmer. Emin Singh, this is very serious, because the fact of the matter is that these are young boys who spend time in jail, and tomorrow when they come back, they too can use that phrase chillingly used by you, retaliatory violence, because they can come out as people who hate as well for what they have suffered.
Yes, yes, you are very right. This may be one of those cases... isolated cases which may have happened, but to make it, to generalize it and to make a charge against the police is very unfortunate.
I agree with that.
In the 1993 serial blast case of Mumbai, which I investigated as the chief of the SIT, we had arrested even police officers, customs officers, Hindu, who had in some way helped transportation of this. Now, we don't make any distinction. We are investigating a serious crime which is a threat
but
to is the
there
nation.
But is there a
and
pattern?
And there is no question of Hindu and Muslim in that.
I agree with you, but I want to ask this.
Don't make a charge against the police.
My question is...
Who has arrested this Abhinav Bharat people? It is the ATS of Maharashtra who has arrested.
Okay, that's fair enough. Shiv, whose accountability is it? Is there a
I would say that yes, it is unfortunate, his
yes.
case.
Whose accountability it is it?
Now, if it...
Does the state owe something... The Let same the, Australia that was cited, 1 minute, the same Australia that you quoted.
Look,
apologize
I have
to Dr. Hanif, arrested in Glasgow.
Yes, I have
a view on this which I had stated on probably one of your programs.
Which is?
The case, if it is not a case of acquittal, were you charge sheeted?
Yes.
And acquitted after trial?
Yes.
Well, it can happen.
What is that?
An acquittal. Let me tell you, every acquittal does not necessarily prove the innocence of the man.
Come on, sir.
I have said
then
it on the program.
Then every conviction doesn't prove guilt. Yeah. If every acquittal doesn't prove innocence, then every conviction doesn't prove guilt.
But if he was...
How is the police innocent all the time and he is perpetually guilty?
Yes.
The norms have to be the same.
My dear sir, the police have placed him on the charge and he faced the trial by the court. The court has acquitted him. Now, 18% cases are only getting in conviction.
Okay, 1 minute.
The rest of
one
the 82% cases...
Sorry to interrupt.
Now, if you say that every acquitted person is an honorable person and totally honest...
Sandeep Dixit...
I am not going to buy
Sandeep
this theory.
Who's a
there may be some
I,
who are innocent.
My,
there may
I
be many
trying,
who are not innocent
am,
but got acquitted.
MN Singh, I'm not trying to use a broad...
Don't make it a police versus
Achha,
you.
8 minutes. I'm not trying to use a broad stroke against the police. I want to take it back to what we were discussing. How serious is right-wing terror? Are we seeing a larger pattern here where in many of these high-profile cases, wrongful arrests have been made? Are these wrongful arrests? Are these biased arrests? Sandeep?
I think a bit of both. More of wrongful, less of biased, but there are biased arrests. I would like to put it this way. But also, I would like to say it's a responsibility of both the state and the police. I'm not going to exonerate the police like Emin Singh Ji would say. I'm happy he's loyal to his force. And maybe he's had a different experience.
Yeah. I'm loyal to the country, sir.
Fair enough. This is not an issue. All of us are loyal to the country. I don't think there's anybody here who needs to state that. Let me put it very
clear. We're all loyal to our country.
I don't doubt anybody's loyalty.
So you don't have to state something like that.
Chandanagar Kalko, tomorrow, Colonel Purohit gets acquitted in the same way. Whose accountability is it?
No. Of course. I mean, it is the accountability of the state. That is the thing. So, but I would agree that, you know, we should not create a situation in which we paint the police into a corner and say police is necessarily biased, police is doing all wrongful things. I think the percentage where the police goes wrong completely in arrest and investigation.
But they've gone wrong in all these cases.
No, I mean police has gone wrong in many, many cases. many cases with a country of 1.2 billion with a huge amount of crime being committed. Police doesn't look only into terrorist crime. There are other kinds of crime. Considering the total numbers, I don't think there is any reason to particularly kind of target the police.
Okay, Mr. Varghese, you heard from the Abhinav Bharat spokesperson, and then Chandan made this interesting point. And in the United States of America, it's part of their First Amendment. The people have the right to believe whatever they want to, even if somebody else may completely disagrees with it. Now, those beliefs may be unpalatable to some. So, is that the same thing as using the word terror for these groups?
Well, the language is not the necessary
measurement.
The key issue. You can give it by any name. You can give any name to it. It is the fact and the attitude that goes along with it. And I think it is distressing that, the police was referred to. What is the problem with the police? No political party wants an independent police. Why have police reforms been defied across the board?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they all want them to be handmaidens. I'm saying there are honorable men who are fighting against it. It is the state, it's the political parties. And it's not merely the BJP, it's the Congress, it's the Communists, everyone, Mamata Banerjee, the whole lot. There is a corruption in our system here, where you want police and the intelligence agency to be your stooges, to fix your opponent and absolve yourself of any guilt. And why do these arrests take place? You're catering to the mob. Throw them something. We've arrested 10 people. The mob is what? The mob is on one side. So to placate the mob, you pick up 10 innocent boys and hang them. At the end of that, what happens? They come out free. This has happened time and again. It's not necessarily only Muslims. It is others too.
Yeah.
This is the attitude. We have corrupted our society. We are not dealing with fundamental issues.
I think that's absolutely right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, quick last comments and some more questions from the audience. If you can't agree on how to describe something, how do you tackle it? Do you treat it as isolated cases of crime and violence or extremism? Or do we say it out loud that there is right-wing terror in our country? Because if you don't acknowledge it, then you can't deal with it. Coming back with final comments from a panel and a few questions from the audience after the break. On We the People, how serious is the threat from right-wing terror? Was Sushil Kumar Shinde correct in the statement he makes? Statements that now could lead to a meltdown between him and the BJP. Before we return to the panel, let's take some questions from the audience, ma'am.
Yeah, you know, as a child, when we grew up, we learned about unity and diversity, and that really made us proud. But now I don't see any unity. There's only diversity, and which is dividing us day by day. Why do you all make such remarks which will divide?
Do you mean Mr. Shinde's remarks?
Yes.
Sandeep, do you need to take that? This is the Home Minister under whom these terror cases are actually handled. Now, he is accusing the principal opposition party of having links to terror camps.
I think what he corrected later was correct. I think that's an unfortunate remark. And as I said earlier, I don't personally accept it.
No.
In all circumstances, one of the few things that we must remember is that our voices go far beyond us. Our voices make a difference to people, right or wrong.
Yeah.
And if we are elected to basically protect and work under the constitution, if we don't truly believe in it,
sure,
I don't think we should be in this.
Will the Congress clarification be good enough for the BJP?
The Congress clarification is not good enough.
You need
I
Mr.
think
Shinde
the really offensive
speak.
Part of what Mr. Shinde said, he said that there are terror camps organized in BJP and RSS offices. I challenge him to prove any camp, leave alone a terror camp, in our offices.
And the individuals in these cases with previous histories to the RSS?
No, they have no camps in the offices. They may be running their camps elsewhere. But to make this absolutely preposterous statement, he has to explain.
Okay, let's take a question here.
Say this.
Yeah.
Is it the retaliatory aspect of right-wing terrorism that makes it less threatening than Islamist terrorism in the eyes of the government, the police and the general population of the country?
I think there's been a huge misunderstanding about the retaliatory. It was by way of an explanation. It was not by way of justification. That, you know, that makes it
but
less
why
dangerous
is it,
or whatever.
But to the latter part of a question, Shiv, why is it seen to be less threatening? Shiv?
No, I think, let's be fair to Chandan and Professor Singh.
Yeah.
I think a lot of Islamic terror has been already well organized.
Yes. That was my
Hindu
point.
Attempts at terror are new. but potentially promising. The scale of organization of certain kind of terror groups is very different from what is happening here.
Yeah.
But we need to be open-ended about it, because the question is not the question of sanitizing terrorist groups, but the amount of innocent people who are brought in here. Let me make a point.
Yeah.
Accountability will only pin a particular person. What about responsibility? Why can't media forecast his case and all of us apologize to him?
Yeah.
One citizen to the other. Why is it only the job of the police?
You mean it's us as a people who also owe this young boy an apology?
Citizens are not responsible. Yeah, so let's apologize.
I think we do apologize.
Not as this kind of showcase ritual. Yeah. I'm saying feature these guys and make sure that to a certain extent some kind of restitution is done. Not compensation.
Imran, what would you look for? Compensation?
No, I think...
Isn't that an insulting word? I was just going to
he's
say...
I find
the word compensation in a case like this actually
that's
insulting.
That's precisely why I said...
The thing is, I don't want to... Yeah. I just want to tell ki mere baat koi aur Imran na hai. That's it. I want to make that thing.
Absolutely. Let's take a question.
It should be possible to sue the police or the state or whoever's responsible for it, not only for monetary compensation, but for psychological compensation and for the humiliation, torture the person's undergone. Secondly, the question is, how do you recruit the police? Because all over India, we seem a fear force, which the whole nation seems to be unhappy with.
Let him answer that, because I'm going to get scolded again. MSC. Yeah.
As far as suing is concerned, you can always do that. And I think you should do that. Now, coming to the use of the expression retaliation, I am not trying to justify the terrorist act of the Hindu group. It was not by way of a justification or explanation. I was just trying to state a certain reason why certain things are happening.
I'm just taking a question.
Is it not very hypocritical on our part of not acknowledging the right-wing terror which exists, and there have been cases like that?
No. Najib, do we need to label terror? Does it need
a
label?
Because I really think that terrorism still is at the margins in India. It can be tackled if we tackle rank communalism.
But Milind Joshi Rao,
I entirely agree with him as far as communalism is concerned, but terrorism in India is not entirely a product of communalism. It is coming from across the borders.
How can we blame Pakistan for our domestic lack of capacity to keep ourselves secular?
What does that have to do with communalism? You see, the fact is, in Pakistan, there is no communalism.
No, they have sectarian violence. There is Shia genocide going on there.
Perhaps the most communal country in the world.
But, you see, their terror is not caused by communalism. You see, and therefore, to try to say that we should not talk about jihadi terrorism, I think is absolutely wrong.
Sandeep Dixit, I want to ask Sandeep the opposite question. Do you agree with the phrase jihadi terror?
Well, there are jihadis who are terrorists, but I'll come back to you. I think we need to label, because
to label
is to understand. It's just like when we started accepting that there was untouchability, that there was casteism which was wrong, that there's dowry which is wrong practice. You first accept it, it's only then that you can confront it.
Okay, I'm going to take a question here and then Milind Joshi.
I just want to ask the mastermind of 2611, Hafiz Saeb, acknowledging Mr. Shinde's comment. Don't you think that puts India down in front of the international community?
No, I think the important is if Mr. Shinde is right, then we must understand him. If he's not, we must not accept that. What we accept as a weakness in our country is not a problem. You know, we accept that we are a dishonest country. Should we say that we are not just because international companies won't invest here? I think it's the pride of our country and the dignity of our nation that we can accept if there are problems within us.
Milind Joshi Rao, to that girl's question, that if you call something Islamist, why shouldn't you also call it Hindu, if that is the origin from which violence is drawn?
Yeah, first, see, basically all the cases against the Hindus in the terror cases are sub judice. Nobody has been convicted for the terror cases.
Okay.
In fact, in Jalna court, Abhinav Bharat members have been acquitted. No media, no person is speaking about that. Mr. M.N. Singh has to tell the people that who trained Maharashtra ATS in intelligence development. It was Lieutenant Colonel Purohit who trained Maharashtra ATS.
Well, what does that prove?
It proves that he is secular credentials. You have been blah blah going about that he is an army officer and he is a Hindutvavadi. He has actually
You told me that. I didn't even know it till you told me.
No, you have been putting it into our mouth that we are Hindu terrorists. No, we are never terrorists.
You said you believe in a Hindu Rashtra.
We do believe. That doesn't make me a Hindu terrorist.
I didn't say that. Shiv Vishwanathan, is there a difference? Why I would not dismiss this completely is that the fact is this is how a group and its spokesperson thinks. And this thinking is used to maybe create a certain kind of ideological identity.
I think the biggest crisis we are facing is we are using stereotypes to beat each other. Whether you are minority or majority doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
And I think the question we really have to ask is not talk about loyalty to party or loyalty to nation, but loyalty to facts and to truth.
Yeah.
That has been the casualty.
Yeah. Okay, I have to take a last two questions now.
Yeah. Now in this context, I'd like to submit to this House that we drop that word retaliatory altogether.
How do you explain the so-called Hindu terror incidents which have happened? The whole debate is that it is saffron or right-wing terrorism.
One minute, sir. Question here.
Basically, he being the Home Minister of the country, he cannot possibly be focusing on Hindutva terrorism. He should be focusing on terrorism as a whole. Because I come from Northeast and I see what happens there. And what about Kashmir? I mean, you cannot be focusing on Hindutva terrorism.
Okay, last question, ma'am. I'm out of time.
Sir, I want to ask, when will the BJP and the Congress take a lead here? The secularism is the basis and the essence of India. Where has the idea of India went? A terrorist is a terrorist.
I 100% agree. Terror is not only caused by communal factors, as this lady was just pointing out, Northeast. How would you bracket that kind of terrorism? And therefore, I agree with Sandeep that, you know, we need to identify and name the terror in order to kind of
tackle that. You said labels are important to understand. Yeah. Therefore, what is the label? As we end, what is the label that we agree on? Because we actually don't agree on the label.
Right-wing terror is not a problem. Because it distinguishes it from left-wing terror. Right-wing is extremism of any kind. I don't think it's associated with either any religion or any broad ideology. I think it's a term which is fairly secular, to put it that way.
No, right-wing terror is associated with ethnicities. So if you go to the Northeast, they're not all right-wing. I think we've got to
So what's the word you'd use? What's the label you'd use?
Just a minute. You seem to think that unless we pick one word, we don't have consensus. It's the other way around. Here is an overlapping list of things which you don't need to classify in terms of a uniformity. If you begin with the diversity of terrorism while looking at certain standardized modes of violence, I think we've come to a
disagreement with that. Mr. Verghese, I'll give you the last word. Yes.
I think the important word is not secularism.
Yes.
But the big word in the Constitution, fraternity, which is a much bigger concept than secularism, has been forgotten. No leader, no plan document across the board ever uses that word. They don't understand it. Hindu Rashtra is divisive. Therefore, in Gujarat, you have a wall. That is Pakistan. This is the frontier. It's an absolute shame.
So I think
fraternity needs to be restored.
So I think we need to remember the word fraternity. I have to end.
There is something which I would like to say. When I use the expression retaliatory, it was more in the sense of a reaction. A reactive response rather than retaliatory.
Let's not go back to that. We've understood that.
But I want to say that terrorism is a disease of the mind. Today it is only the police which is dealing with the problem. I think focus on the ideology which drives towards terrorism.
Okay.
Unless you are able to deal with that mental problem, merely asking the police to deal with and blame them, I don't think that...
Disagreement with that. We have to remember the sense of fraternity. I think Shivishwaratha makes an important point that eventually the word you use is not important. There are certain agreements on what should happen and what should not happen, what the idea of this country is, what the accountability of the state is,
but
and what the accountability...
Shinde can't get away by using these words.
So now you and the Congress have to battle that out in Parliament. Thank you very much.
You have many more important issues coming to us.